as the Army becomes more flexible and agile, commanders are considering mobility. That is, the vehicles necessary to take small, lethal units from one place to another, often under harsh, dangerous conditions. Brigadier General David Bassett is the program executive for the Army's Ground Combat Systems. He's standing by with Tom at the Association of the U.S. Army Convention in Washington. Tom?
Thank you, Emily. And General Bassett, great to have you on.
Nice to see you, Tom.
And we should probably distinguish right away between those vehicles that carry people from place to place and those that actually conduct combat on the ground, which may carry people inside, but you're the one, you take care of the latter group of vehicles.
Yeah, you're right. I manage all the Army's ground combat systems. Goes everything from the Abrams tank, Bradley fighting vehicles, the Paladin PIM, howitzer. And you know, what a great show here at AUSA. A lot of the great vehicles on display across all of our industrial base.
Yeah, we're standing here right across from a olive green Stryker vehicle. The grenade launcher is empty, luckily, and it are being media, we have to probably get out of the way of it. But tell us what your plans are in the big picture, because the Army has been at work for a very long time. And I've been predicting a modernization groundswell for the Army, which hasn't quite happened yet in the appropriations. But
sure.
What do you need to do in the next few years to refresh the ground combat programs?
You know, for all the budget challenges that we've had, Tom, we've been able to take the resources that we do have, and right here at AUSA this year, we've got upgraded versions of our Bradley. Actually, they don't have the Bradley here, but we've got the upgraded version of the Stryker right across from us here, the Stryker ECP vehicle. Also have the newest version of the M1 A1 SEP V3 tank, which is the latest upgrade to what we think is the best tank in the world here at the General Dynamics booth. And then, although they're not here at AUSA, we've got a new howitzer in production out in both in Pennsylvania and out in Oklahoma, the M109A7 and Paladin PIM howitzer, which has been in production since earlier this year. We've got about a dozen of those vehicles delivered to the government and in test. And the new version of the Bradley fighting vehicle delivered to the government and in government test, really, I think, showing the what happens when we stay focused on modernization, even in these times of challenging budgets. So
right.
We think it's an exciting time.
So let's look at an example. You had a howitzer, and now there's a new one that's about to be produced or
right.
Starting to be in production. How does the Army decide what needs to change about this? What do we need to improve? And how do you go about making sure that the feedback from experience in the ground of combat gets into what is being built that's new?
Sure. In the case of our howitzer, we had a howitzer that was built on an automotive platform that was nearly 50 years old. And so in this upgrade, we kept the weapon system itself relatively consistent, and we were able to integrate it on a modernized automotive platform, which was based on our Bradley fighting vehicle. And so now you've got really a common automotive platform between Bradley, our Paladin PIM howitzer, and as well as our armored multi-purpose vehicle, which was awarded here last year and in development with BAE Systems. Now we will have commonality across as much as 85% of our armored brigade combat team. And by doing so, we can drive down the logistics footprint. We can make those systems more efficient, more effective on the battlefield, and more reliable. So it's a great combination. In the case of the Paladin, the focus was on the automotive system.
And just describe briefly, the Paladin is what?
Sure. It's a 155-millimeter self-propelled howitzer. So an indirect fire weapon that engages targets with indirect fire at extended ranges rather than a direct fire weapon like the M1 tank that you see across from us.
Okay, so getting back to that idea of a common underpinning for all of these different weapons that are on top, I imagine in terms of the sustainment and life cycle costs, that must be a big savings.
It is. It's tremendous advantages. And what it's allowed us to do, at least in the case of the armored multi-purpose vehicle, is have a significant cost savings over what a brand new build-from-scratch vehicle would be. And so in many cases, you know, we are partnered with other countries as well as we look at their developments. And the UK just brought out a brand new Scout vehicle. They're now calling it, I believe, the Ajax system. We were over in London seeing that a few weeks ago. And that's a wonderful vehicle, but we're going to be able to deliver AMP-V for a significant cost savings over what that's going to cost our allies because of that commonality with Bradley in that program plan.
And what about the training costs for the maintainers, the people that operate them, either back at depot or in the field? I guess if you know what's underneath one, you know what's underneath all of them.
No, absolutely. And it streamlines that supply chain with a common engine, common transmission. And we're trying to keep those things synchronized across those entire fleets here so that that within the brigade footprint, you've got a significantly reduced supply of parts and transportation requirements for those parts. And it allows us to focus and get that right the first time for those systems.
Now, as successive generations of these are fielded, or you know, sometimes they don't make it through a battle or they need to be rebuilt or whatever, is there a mechanism for feedback from the operators on the ground using them? Does that tie back into what happens maybe in the next generation or the next batch that is being built?
It absolutely does. I mean, we reach out to our counterparts in the Army's Training and Doctrine Command, as well as out to the units in the field. The 3rd Corps out at Fort Hood is probably my biggest user for Armor Brigade Combat Team equipment. And we talk to them all the time about the systems that we buy and how we can make those better over time, what readiness issues they're having, and so that we can focus on making those systems better over time and addressing the shortcomings that are identified in the field. I mean, the Army is training again, and so we're seeing failure modes we hadn't seen before, and we're getting after it.
And for a number of years, we have talked about the issue of networked warfare, where not only people but also systems communicate with one another. How is that coming into the ground combat system platforms?
Yeah, so across the board, all those upgrades that we talked about actually include the ability to carry the Army's future network, and we've stayed connected to our counterparts in C3T. So the ones that buy the networks, we stay connected on those. As they do their modernization, so do we. And in fact, the Stryker ECP vehicle right in front of us includes an in-vehicle network that integrates those capabilities significantly more effectively than we have in the past. And across Abrams and Bradley, Stryker, we now are adding additional onboard electric power to carry those future network capabilities, really reflecting the lessons of about the last 14 years of conflict.
And another big issue for the military is alternative fuels, the idea of trying to be less dependent on the expensive, hard, logistically difficult fuel systems. Anything going on there with respect to these particular types of the ground combat programs?
Well, so, you know, the vehicles that I manage are probably the biggest and heaviest vehicles in the Army's inventory.
It doesn't look like it gets a lot of miles per gallon.
No, it doesn't. And sometimes you got a tough physics problem, which is
per
you got a certain
mile.
No, it's always miles per gallon, I think. So, in the case of this vehicle, you've got a certain weight that you have to carry over a certain distance, and that takes a certain amount of energy. But that doesn't mean that we're not focused on what we can do to drive down fuel consumption. So in the case of the new tank, one of the things that we brought on board is an auxiliary power unit that allows the vehicle to be...
A putt-putt.
A generator, an onboard generator. And what that allows it to do is to drive all the electric systems on the vehicle while it's parked without having to run the turbine engine, which gives us all the horsepower mobility we need but isn't exactly fuel efficient.
So we're not going to see, used fryolator oil or that kind of thing quite anytime soon on ground combat vehicles.
I know, you know, you could probably burn it in that tank, but I think we're going to stay focused on JP-8 and some of the other fuels on the battlefield.
All right, and tell us how your program relates to the larger strategy of the Army, which is smaller in the future from what we can tell at this point, more agile units. The Army has already gone to the brigade structure as opposed to the division, so the idea of smaller, more agile, how does that translate back into development of ground combat vehicles?
Well, you know, the Army just came out with our latest combat vehicle modernization strategy, and what's really key to that is the ability to add additional lethality, mobility, and protection to our systems. And so as we look forward into the future, we know that these systems have got to be capable of delivering an outsized blow to that which any of our adversaries can present. And so we're looking at adding that. We have a program going on right now, which is kicking off this week, to add a larger cannon to the Stryker vehicle, which was an urgent request that came out of Europe. And so we're focused on adding lethality really across our systems, and in particularly with the M1 tank. The upgrade beyond this gives us better night vision, tremendous increased capability across that platform for greater lethality.
And I guess there's been some developments in metallurgy that the armor, the protective quality of the shell is improving also relative to maybe a few years ago.
Yeah, we're keeping an eye on that across our fleet, and there's some new opportunities with some materials that may allow us to add additional protection at the same weight. I will acknowledge that, you know, sometimes we struggle that as we add these advanced materials, sometimes the cost can go up, and it's something we have to watch to make sure we're getting kind of the right level of protection at the right weight and at a price the Army can afford across our fleets. And so that's something we work on hand in hand with the Research and Development Command.